Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's the authority of your word that gives me confidence to be boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of Christ. I do depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Speak to the hearts of your people and let something be said tonight that will provoke their hearts to study your word and to continue to grow in the admonition of the Lord. And Father, in everything you be glorified for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. In the last lesson, we began a new type of discussion. It's not really necessarily new, but it kind of organized what we've been talking about since I've been here, and that was life as a believer. And that in this life, there is an expectation from God from us to go be above and beyond that which is normal. And if there is an expectation from God, it behooves us just like anyone who existed with God and worked with God to begin to position ourselves to do those things which please Him. And we're coming into a day of accountability where we're not going to be able to just say that we like God and we go to church. It's going to need to be a lot more to our belief system, because the scripture says that the enemy will come and transform himself as an angel of light, teaching doctrines, and that there are doctrines as such things as doctrines of devils. And so we need to know what the doctrine is from the Word of God, doctrine simply meaning teaching, and live off of that. And I believe it starts with defining what really is our life as a believer. You know, where are we as Christians? What does it mean to really be a Christian in our terms? What can we confidently communicate with other people and really give them a good, healthy, biblical description of the quality of life that we say is greater than being in the world? And if we can't, then there is a challenge, there's a problem, because somewhere either our communication is off with God or we don't know how to convey what we really believe. And there needs to be a new type of dialogue that says, this is exactly what we believe. You'll be amazed at how many people go to church for a number of years and they don't know really what they believe. They sit in the churches and they sing the hymns, and hymns don't get us to heaven. Amen. You know, we have to know. The scripture says that my people are not destroyed because of a lack of spirit, but they're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And then it goes further and it says, because they reject knowledge, I reject their children. So they alleviate anything coming out of them from having success because of their perspective. And that perpetual ignorance causes destruction in the land. So as I was studying and we were talking about sanctification, I realized you can't tell a person when they haven't really taken time to investigate what they believe to start at being set apart for God. Because a lot of times we want people to have revelation without them having a comprehension. And comprehension begins first. Jesus never walked with anybody that he didn't tell them what they were walking for. He always gave them a purpose. And so tonight's lesson is going to deal with predestination. We talked about salvation, that it was more than just coming up to an altar saying, Jesus, save me from my sins. But it was actually the quality of life from a repentant heart that led to the resistance from the devil, a renewing of the mind, a reliance upon the Holy Spirit, and a righteous conscience that causes us to be saved. We said that being saved meant that it was a gift from God for all of us to actually openly confess Jesus as Lord, and that it was a finished work of the Lord Jesus. This is last week's lesson, y'all. And a true foundation for belief, and it was the power of God's grace, and that it was our security in eternity. Most people just know that if I die, I'm not going to hell because I confess Jesus as Lord. And there's a whole lot more to that. There's power, there's security, there's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And so tonight I want to kind of review the last 3 points that I gave you and go on from there. Let's read the foundation scripture together. Jesus is speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And what does it say? And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? And so, of course, Jesus says this. Now, you got to understand, Jesus not only when he walked on the earth had to produce great works to identify that he was the Savior, but everything that he said would become scripture. So he had this unique and keen obedience in his life that was so straight that he would not go off, so that way thousands of years we could look at things that he said and develop belief from. Do you hear me? So the words of we don't see a casual acquaintance with God ever in scripture as an example to follow. Anybody that followed Jesus or followed God or had a relationship with God made very serious decisions that could determine their life or death. We see the example with Saul. Saul was a king who was appointed by people to run a nation. God did not want a kingdom made from a hierarchy system. He wanted judges, those who he would separate supernaturally, to govern the people with the voice of the Lord. And so they didn't want Saul, who was the kingmaker and who was also a prophet, so they chose Saul, the king. And Saul, as a result of one act of disobedience, caused the whole kingdom to go down to an era of ultimately captivity. And because of his example of defying the known will of God, it cost an entire kingdom. Now, his life actions destroyed his whole lineage from having an opportunity to receive that kingdom. And then God, of course, brought restoration through the life of David, who was not expected to be raised up as a king. And from that, the seed of David, which is Jesus, was able to come on the earth and to redeem man from sin. So you see, one act of obedience from one person could make or break the difference. And then the scripture lets us know that God doesn't change not. And I think in society, because we have technology and because we have a secular concept of God, almost, that we approach him as if he is not the same one who destroyed nations because of their unbelief. And then he bases all of Christianity on our belief system. Did you know that? All things are possible to them that what? Believe. He says, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's still belief. And so if our belief system is what qualifies our relationship with God, we have to take a much more serious approach to how we approach our belief system. And so now we live in a society where parents no longer develop the belief system of their children. They release their responsibility to a secular society to raise them up thinking that they can learn, perceive, and understand from that type of training. When it used to be that the household would set up standards that would govern their character, that would be a reflection when that child went out to school of their household. And so you can tell often about the discipline and the order of that child used to be from the way they conducted themselves. And if the child was disorderly, they would refer back to the parent and say, what's going on in the household? Well, now we can't say that. Because we don't do the development of belief system first in the home. And so the child goes out in ignorance when it was never the intentions of God for a child to go out in ignorance and get educated by a secular system. And when it comes to them growing up in the admonition of the Lord, they never come in contact with a true Savior because they've never been taught by someone who truly believes. So we have to go back to this discussion of life as a believer. Do you get my seriousness behind it? We can clap our hands and stomp our feet and attend services as many times as we want, but if we don't deal with the basics of life and how we perceive and how we operate and govern our affairs, then we're going to repeat the same ignorances that caused some of us to be in the predicaments that we were in today. Now, when you hear the voice of the Lord, the scripture tells you to harden not your heart. And I said the other week that often we think that the heart, or when God is speaking to our heart, most of the time we think it's the rhythm that's in our, the muscle that we've defined as our heart. But he's really talking about the core of our understanding. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you see what I'm saying? With the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you understand that things come throughout your mind, and when things come to your mind, you can either choose to communicate it or not. So you know it's a mindset. So God is looking at how we believe. And if we can learn our belief system and learn how to exist as a believer, you see, that's what belief system means, someone who is exercising their beliefs. Okay, when we determine to say we're going to govern this in the order in which God designed us, we take a look at things pertaining to life and see if we really match up. Now let's go on to the lesson. Let's read our purpose together. Our purpose: to glorify God with godly living, finding methods, means, and manners by the Spirit of God and the Scriptures, And in doing so, we will systematically study the Word of God that isolates proven patterns, principles, and policies in God's words that governs believers on everyday basis to strengthen the church at large. Now, I want to read you the last 3 points that I gave you. I wrote it as a paragraph in this, but if you go back to your lesson, I broke it down as points and gave you scriptures for it. Operating in the life of God is solely arranged by the Spirit of God. If a relationship is not fully developed with the Holy Spirit, which is understood in your identity in Christ, we will never experience the God kind of life. Our life is defined by how much we understand, how much understanding we have on Jesus being Lord over our lives. The master key to developing the Christian life is developing awareness, appreciation, and application on the power of faith. And only a mind set on the things of God can contain the power needed to exist in Christ, which gives meaning to life. Now, tonight's lesson is really going to help you understand those 3 points to a whole nother level, so it won't be just words to you, but it'll breathe life. And we're going to talk about the subject predestination. Now, predestination is probably the one of the most mistaught subjects in the body of Christ. And so what people have done, they've confused generational curses with predestination. They've said, because this was in my family line, it was something, I started doing this because of this. You're responsible for your actions and deeds. Whether someone did it before in your family doesn't govern whether or not you have the right to choose from right from wrong. You live and die by the choices that you make. You have to choose this day whom you're going to serve, just like everyone else. Now, those things can affect your perception depending on your development, but ultimately you still choose to uphold righteousness or unrighteousness. And so often with predestination, people say it is what it is, and if this has happened, it's the will of God. Just because things happen doesn't mean that it's God's will. Just because a lot of people have made some choices and they said it was God and God had nothing to do with it. You know, of course, a lot of people say, well, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, that scripture was talking about Job, and Job was actually in an argument with 3 friends trying to prove and trying to understand why things was going to him. He wasn't in a place where God was speaking. It never said, nowhere in the book of Job, that the Lord said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And so people have made that excuse like that was the word of God, and it was actually a word in the word of God. You see what I'm saying? That was giving you an actual account of what he was going through. But then he says in the 42nd chapter, I said things I didn't understand, things too big for me. And when I found out that I wasn't God, he said he fell on his face like he was a dead man. So why would we take the words of a man who fell on his face like a dead man, who didn't know what he was talking about, as God's word? Do you see what I'm saying? So again, it's the belief system. And if you don't know that your belief system is being attacked, and just like advertisements on the TV, every 30 seconds after a 15-minute segment, there's at least 20 messages being sent to you saying that you have to do this and that, you're going to go throughout life thinking God is saying something that he may have never said. And part of, and again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I said last week, how can you hear without a preacher? Amen. And a lot of times, because we don't have a respect for the office, we can't hear the word. And of course, you know, the respect for the office is just the beginning of it. Having respect for your pastor is just the beginning of it. Ultimately, it's the revelation of the word that will bring you to the changes, because of course, you know, the word is the seed which lives and abides forever in us, which causes us to exist in this life. I know I'm going real fast. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to slow down. But basically, faith is produced. We act on what we believe. That's what faith is, acting on what you believe. Faith is acting on what you believe, and you believe these things because you've been in a place that talks about your beliefs, and you've trusted the person whom God sent to give you what you should believe. And if that is not in place, then you're going to always have challenges in your belief system.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So tonight we want to briefly highlight how the Father God has design the life of the believer to exist, and perhaps give simple resolves and suggestions as to how we can maintain a divine connection, which is our greatest advantage. Now, one of the things that changed my life, like I told you several years ago, one of the scriptures that kept me was that His grace is able to keep me from falling. And so when I found out that there was an advantage to having the grace of God, I made standards above the norm that kept me out of a lot of mess from a young age, because I believed that if His grace wasn't able to keep me from falling, there was no need for me to go after His grace. And so when you develop a relationship with God on this level, and what I mean by level, just simply from perspective, okay? Because some people say levels, they go into the next level every year, and they ain't been nowhere. You can be in the same atmosphere going up and down. See them steps right there? Them steps go up to another level. But you can go up and down them steps and never get upstairs, right? And a lot of times people are going up and down steps talking about, I'm going to the next level. Yeah, you're at the same place you were 10 years ago. You know, so I decided I didn't want to be up, going up a stairs all my life and wait until I'm 40, 50 to actually get the picture and then be too old and be a survivor for life and miss a whole type of life that God intended me to have. You know, so the scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're not suggested by the Lord. But many of us don't know that what we're doing is what God wants us to do. And we've left that up to the preacher. So that we wait for someone to give us a word saying, this is what God wants you to do. Well, God could have given you the word yourself. Because His sheep knoweth His voice.
That's right. That's
and the voice of another they will not follow. That's what the scripture says. And so you can tell if it's a man or woman of God if they point you back to the word of God. Do you get what I'm saying? And when they point you back to the word of God, what's going to happen? Faith is going to happen. You're going to act on what you believe because you know God said it. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's the trust that you have when you're dealing with a true man or woman of God. Amen? It's not a selfish thing. So let's read the next paragraph together. In the New Testament, life is not merely existing on planet Earth. Let's stop right there. Because I really want us to get this part when we talk about predestination. Life is not merely existing on planet Earth. Because if that was the case, everybody would have life. And according to the scripture, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you know if He came and there were people there before when He was existed, you see what I'm saying? Then they must not have had the life that He was talking about that He came to give. So, if He came that you have life, there is one thing to exist and there's another thing to live. And the scripture emphasizes this. Now, I want y'all to do a project on your own time. I want you to go to BibleGateway.org, BibleGateway.org, and put in the word life and see how many times it's in the scriptures. BibleGateway.org and look up keyword search.
Okay.
It's on the tape if y'all didn't get it. But BibleGateway.org and put in the word life and see how many times life comes up and how much is emphasized in the scripture. So let's define what this life is. Let's keep reading.
Okay.
It is a divine gift given to humanity to have commonality with their Creator. God, when Jesus finished His work at Calvary, gave the Lord Jesus complete authority over the realm of life, making all forms of worldly ambitions and flesh that is against God, which leads to death. I'm sorry, that is not supposed to be there. I apologize. Light, word, and truth are all symbols of Christ's effect in our life, marking a union that is unbreakable. Now, what I'm saying is this. In the scripture, He said He came that you might. We're going to go through some scriptures in a second that proves my point. But before we go there, I want you to understand that this life is just not merely existing. It's for us to have commonality with our Creator. Prime example, Adam and Eve. They had their commonality with their Creator. But because of a suggestion, they chose to eat the fruit from, that's right, they chose to eat the fruit for which God told them not to, and they were naked. At first they were naked and not ashamed, but they were naked and they saw themselves in a way that God didn't want them to see themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? The problem was, the suggestion was that if you ate from the tree, you would be like God. Well, they were already like God. They were created in his image and in his likeness. So there was a deception from the beginning. So the tree of life would have been totally irrelevant if they had asked God, why I didn't eat from the tree? Why can't I eat from the tree? Because he wasn't withholding any good thing from them. He never said they couldn't ask. They chose to hear a suggestion from a creation or a creation that God had given them the choice to name. The same thing happens with us. We look at circumstances in life and we look at things that we have materially and try to define our outcome by based on what we have. Well, we are the creators of our reality. You see what I'm saying? Same suggestions try to get us off of the plan that God has for us. And so we have to really take advantage of how we see this life. Now think about it. Jesus was convinced by God to come to the world and love the world, to give his own life for us to have this life. And he got to the point of Gethsemane where he said, if this cup could pass, let it pass. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do in order for us to have this life. And we take advantage of it by not investigating exactly what it means. It's like, you know, I thought about that scripture that talks about in Hebrews how we crucify the Lord afresh. I think sometimes we crucify him in our own mind by not really why we have this life as a believer. And I think that society is at great loss when people don't know and investigate what they really believe. Why are we saved? Saved from what? And why haven't we really asked those questions as to what guarantees our salvation and what benefits? Why haven't we petitioned God as to say, if I'm going to do all of these changes in my life, what is it for? All right, let's go on. Let's keep reading. Next paragraph. Because predestination, when we get into what am I talking about tonight? Predestination. Now, predestination comes to us all the time. Whether we save, unsaved, we're going to come to the same conclusions that everybody come to. We want to know what we're here for. All right, let's read. Predestination is a profound mystery to many that are in the body of Christ because they have failed to bring emphasis on the straight and narrow demanded in our walk, witness, and our worship. The Word of God has to be approached as relevant to all that claim to believe to gain access on mysteries that are grace for them that diligently seek him.
Go sit down.
What you doing, sir? Have a seat. Have a seat if you're going to come. Huh? Okay, have a seat. Let's go. All right. Let me read this again. Predestination is a profound mystery to many that are in the body of Christ because they have failed to bring emphasis on the straight and narrow demanded on our walk, witness, and our worship. The Word of God has to be approached as relevant to all that claim to believe to gain access on the mysteries that are grace for them that diligently seek Him. So, look, those that seek Him, what do?
They find
Him. Anybody that seeks God finds Him. Because those that seek Him find Him. That's what the scripture says. So if we don't find God, it's because we haven't sought Him. All right? So anything pertaining to the life that God has designed for the believers will only come by the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding we have on the reality and the revelation of Jesus. Now, I want y'all to understand these points because it's going to deal with predestination. If Jesus is not the foundation of predestination, then your situation is in trouble. Because you're going to go to other sources to have a solid foundation, and you know He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Let's go to Romans right quick. Romans chapter 8. Because I want y'all to see in Scripture, this ain't a figment of my imagination or my creativity or ability to write. This is actually Bible. Romans chapter 8. I believe so, yes. One second. I want to, one second. Okay. 28. Actually, let's read verse 29. For whom He did what?
Foreknow.
For whom He did foreknow, also did He predestinate. Okay, now this is why I want to talk about this point. Anything pertaining to the life that God has designed for the believer will only come by the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding we have on the reality and revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, it says it right here. So, also did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, who is His Son?
Jesus
is His Son. That he, being Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom did He predestinate, to them He also called. So you can't even get in what He's called you to do and what he's going to protect you to do what He's called you to do, or even glorify you or mature you or perfect you in what He's called you to do, until you understand that you've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Do you get what I'm saying? I know that was kind of deep, but I'm trying to break it down. You won't get to understanding why you're called to do something until you know that you've been connected with Jesus beforehand to do what you're called to do. And that's what that scripture is saying. Because whom He did predestinate, He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. So what is the image of His Son? His Son is a spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? All right. Number two, at the moment the role of the Spirit is at work within the believer, and of course, now I'm going to prove, let me prove for those of you who are going to be eventually Bible scholars, that Jesus is the image, or the image of His Son is the Spirit. Huh? Romans 8. Yes. So there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? But after the Spirit. So it's talking about the Spirit here, and it's talking about why you're led by the Spirit. Huh? God is a spirit. Exactly. So, number three. Attention to the words of Jesus gives in-depth comprehension on the nature and theology of God and the church. We learn what He taught first on our spiritual quest, we ensure God's involvement every time. Now, I want to explain that because I want you to understand, if you can't believe what Jesus said, it's going to be hard to listen to anything that anybody else said on his behalf.
Amen.
And what I found that when you first come into the things of God, you shouldn't be looking in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Old Testament ain't going to help you. You get what I'm saying? I mean, all it's going to do is give you a bunch of historical stories. You have to start with Jesus because he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Amen.
So if you don't start with Jesus, you're going to have a problem understanding the Old Testament. Now, in order to prove that, I would have to give a whole exegetical study on the book of Hebrews, which tells you that Jesus is greater than the law. And what the law could not do in that it was weak, God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish and have everlasting life. So we begin with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was the one that we know got it right. Why would we study a wrong example before we study the right one? The way you identify a counterfeit is not by studying the counterfeit, but by studying the real thing. So we study the real thing first. And then we get more evidence to the testimonies that relate us and bring us back to the old, to the original. Do you get what I'm saying? And we know Jesus got it right.
Amen.
Amen. So we give attention to his words, which and we're going now all of the scriptures after this on page 2 is going to prove what I'm saying. But I want to give you the points first so you know. When I get to predestination, those 3 points, we'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Because, see, if Jesus ain't the source of your predestination, your foundation's messed up. Because then you'll go to what your ancestors did. You'll go to what someone spoke over you as to what is foreordained for your life when only the words of Jesus can justify it. Because Jesus is going to take you back to the source, and the source is the Spirit, and the Spirit is God. And he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So this life of them, so when I tell, and like I said last week, the Spirit of God leads and guides you to truth because it has the truth. It is the truth. Amen. Let's keep reading. Anytime we are assured that we are basing a situation, circumstances, or words of Jesus, there is an assurance on the authority that backs us both externally and internally. So a lot of the reasons why people don't have confidence as a Christian is because they don't know the authority that backs them. And the primary reason is because they don't pay attention to the words that Jesus gives for them. I'll take questions at the end. Okay. So, as a believer, my fifth point, as a believer prioritizes the revelation of the Lord, Jesus Christ, in their life. I'm sorry, I know I put Christ in there, but y'all got what I was saying. In their life, they become the focus, force, and faith needed to unfold the mystery of predestination. Now, mystery, let me take out the mystical out of mystery. Mystery means that it's a hidden truth that is preserved for a reason. If everybody could get it, then the scripture wouldn't tell you in Corinthians that the natural man couldn't receive the things of God. If everybody could get it. So everybody can't get it because those things that are spiritual have to be spiritually discerned. Amen? All right. Now, let's go to the second page. And let's define what I've been talking about, and then we'll get to predestination.
I don't have that much time. I have other things to do.
Okay, well, you can go.
No, I just wanted to make a statement. It's not a question.
If it's not relating to the subject, here. Read this, and then you can make your statement after, but not now.
It's not going to make a difference.
Huh?
Well,
if it's not going to make a difference, then we can't help you, and you're free to leave. But you're not going to disrupt, sir. Listen. No. You've already disrupted because while I'm supposed to be teaching, okay, you're talking, and this is not the time or the place to do that. Okay? If you're going to sit here, you're going to listen, and you're going to wait until I give you the opportunity to speak. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You do not interrupt while I'm teaching. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I don't want to hear nothing from you until the end.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in the beginning, I'm on the second page, y'all. I didn't lose my place. All right, now I'm proving what I said about Jesus. His words have to be final authority to understand this type of predestination. Okay? So, in the beginning, now this is what the word says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the word. Now, for those of y'all, just to let y'all know, I'm going to edit it off the tape, but I've known this gentleman come in before and disrupt services, and he comes in drunk. So that's why I was speaking as harshly as I was, okay? Okay. Okay. So long as y'all know, I'm in the spirit, okay? And I'm still flowing. It didn't cut me off, okay? All right. So y'all get me. Y'all get my point. As long as y'all get me, it's fine. All right. So what I want to deal with now is proving this predestination from the word of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Because you can get your own concepts, and this is what happens. Many people have good ideas, but it's not God ideas because it's not scripture.
Amen.
And you can take the scripture to the bank because, first of all, the scripture done been around here for at least 2,000 years. You know, we don't have to question. You know, back in the day when the apostles were talking, we might want to say, well, Lord, I'm going to pray about it. You know, but now if I take you to the book, just go back to the book. You know, So predestination is this question that we want to answer, and these are the ways that I found in the scripture that we can answer it. In the beginning, now this is John, of course, writing this. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. So the Word becomes a person. That's how you know the Word is a person. Of course, it's going to tell you who the Word is if you keep reading the whole chapter. And it says, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Now, remember what I said to y'all earlier in this lesson? I said that light, word, and truth are all symbols of Christ's effect in our life, making our union unbreakable. And we know our union is unbreakable because in the beginning was the Word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
And the source of the Word of God is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It all ties in. And if Jesus is not the foundation, then your Word is in question. Do you get what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's why we always bring Jesus back into the scene of things. We don't just say, this is what I feel, this is what I believe. We say, we believe this because this is what the Bible says, and Jesus is the author of this.
Amen.
Do you get what I'm saying? All right. Now, because this is the life. Now, of course, in Him was the light, and that light, in Him was the life, and that life was the light of men. Now, write down for your own study, Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians chapter 1. Just read the whole chapter of Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter
1. 1, yeah, whole chapter. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's go to the next, John chapter 3. Because we're going to talk about predestination, and predestination accompanies our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath what?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. And he that what? Believeth not, the Son shall not see, believeth not the Son shall not what? So we already know that everybody don't have this life.
That's right.
You can be existing and don't have this life. But the wrath of God abideth on Him.
Amen.
Now, not in Him.
On Him.
Because anything that is not light is what?
Darkness.
And the darkness comprehends it not.
Amen.
So it's automatically against God. It's automatically cursed.
Mm-hmm.
It works, and so it's automatically an antagonist. And of course, you know, God always overcomes in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we know that people don't have this life.
Amen.
So the life of the believer is a gift.
Praise Him. Thank you,
It's something precious. It's not just an emotional feeling that we got to get things right. It's a gift from God. Amen. Now, this key scripture, John 5, I was trying to, summarize it. But you can't summarize something that's so good that really deals with the perspective of what Jesus was trying to get across. Because you can get to the point that that they diligently search the scripture and think they have life, but if you don't read why he said what he said, you can take that out of context. You get what I'm saying? And then if you take it out of context, you created the text and it's not his text. You get what I'm saying? So that's why we give you a scene of the scripture. But it says, look, I'll read this real fast. I can of my own self do nothing. Now, this is Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth, I don't even know how he said that in Arabic, of me is true. Yet ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. Now let's talk about what he's talking about. Of course, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. Okay, and the Pharisees was trying to prove. Now, they were the religious leaders of the day. They were trying to prove that Jesus was a heretic because he was blaspheming the name of God by becoming one with God in their perspective. And a lot of times you'll find that if you really operate like a child of God, people will think you're trying to be God. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you can't tell me you're in the presence of God and you don't come out like a God. It's just like fish beget fish. You see what I'm saying? If you see a fish in the sea, you expect fish to come out of them. If you see a fruit on the ground or fruit by a tree, you expect fruit to come out of it. Well, if you come out of the presence of God and you're born by the Spirit of God, you should come out like God.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? And so he said, look, I didn't only come here acting like God, saying, oh, this is my witness, like, oh, I'm God because I can do this thing by my actions and miracles. He said, look, I sent a witness before you because, you know, you're not your own valid witness. It's people that validate you as a witness. You see what I'm saying? Only somebody else can be a witness and say this is the truth if you're the one that's guilty. You see what I'm saying? Or you're guilty until proven what? Innocent. So he couldn't be his own witness, and nor could his miracles be. So God said, look, before Jesus even born, I'm going to make John, who was in his cousin Mary's belly leap, so that way when he's born, he's going to come out, grow up, go eat locusts and honey, walk around baptizing people, talking about the Redeemer's coming, and he's going to bear witness like and have the spirit of Elijah just to prove that Jesus here to do what he qualified to do.
Amen.
So he said, look, y'all know John. Do you get what I'm saying? So he's talking to people who know the history of this thing.
Right.
And they knew John had the spirit of Elijah because they studied the Old Testament. So when he was proving to them, he said, look, I didn't come on my own will. I came on the will of him who sent me. And God, not only are you going to take the fact that I come on the will of him who sent me, he sent you a witness to tell you I'm coming. Because faith without proof is fake. Do you get what I'm saying? We ain't never seen no example that worked with God that couldn't be proven. That's why it's important that you study the life of the believer and get in contact with God, so your life, when people see you, can see evidence that you have been in the presence of God. Amen. So if Jesus, the Savior, went through this type of accusations, you know you're going to do it.
Amen.
All right? So let's keep reading. But I receive not a testimony from man, but from these things I say that ye might be what? Saved. So he knew what he was here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So and this is why he could and see, you're just as witty as his words were, to where he could shut the mouth of his enemy, God has given us the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead for us to be able to answer and exist in life to do greater works than Jesus did. And I haven't seen that many people operating on this type of faith that we're supposed to have at our access. And that's why we need to talk about this life. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, Jesus could prove and shut down a whole company with words. We should be able to shut down a whole form of accusations with thoughts, without words. Because he gave us his spirit, the life of a believer. Predestinated. That means this was already in the plans of God. Amen?
Amen?
Now, let's keep reading. I'm almost finished. But I have a greater witness than John for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me, and that the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard this voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom ye have sent. For whom he hath sent. All right, now where did I go from there?
Him
ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have what?
Eternal life.
See, they were looking for life in the wrong places. And people still today are looking in the wrong places for life. And those that had this life have found it. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not something that you just gonna jump into. You, those that seek them, what? They find them. Do you get what I'm saying? It's because it's hidden. You have these treasures in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God would be of him and not of us. These are gifts. These are things that are found. These are precious. It's this life that God has given us. Amen.
Amen.
And it will remain a mystery to you until you go out and seek it out. And that's the purpose of these teachings and the purposes of Bible study. You go to get information from the Word of God to seek it out to embedder your life. Because you know that the words that he speaks are spirit and they are what? They're life. They're truth, but they're also life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And so he said, look, you're not going to find this in just observance of the scriptures. And you will not come to me that, and he said, look, you didn't even come to me as a way of getting this life. Now, I done showed you that I live above and beyond what you can do with your own natural understanding. And you're not coming to me like that. You want to come and accuse me and make me a heretic, but I'm coming with a different type of life because you're looking on the signs that I do. I done showed you a witness through John the Baptist. I done proved that there's a witness greater than John the Baptist by the works that I do, and you still don't come to me for this type of life. And a lot of times, people, and that's how people should be with you. People should not be that comfortable in your presence because you got the life of God on the inside of you. A different spirit that gets results. Because faith without proof is faith. We need to be, and that's what, if we read the Bible in the serious, in the integrity that it was written, we would come out with this type of life. Do you get what I'm saying? There's no way you could spend time understanding this life and not see it proved in your own life. Amen. Okay, so, and look, he said, look, but I know you, so he knows where they at, that ye have not the love of God in you. So, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe and which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? You see what I'm saying? He's saying this type of life that I have gives an honor that only God can justify. And that's what I endeavor. I don't want nobody to be able to label and say, oh, yeah, he came from one of them. I want people to know, and they can know. They can look at my life. I've seen, just like this week, this is a real example. I had a $1,000 debt thing hanging over my head that I've been dealing with for over a year. And the Lord told me, I'm going to pay for it all. And so I just left it alone. I said, well, I couldn't pay for it, so I wasn't going to try. You know, I could try to strategize and try to borrow this and cut this and cut this and cut this and do this and do this. It wasn't going to work. It's still going to be too much. And so he said he was going to pay for it. I said, now, Father, show me. Now, if you God, you the one that said you supply all of my needs, and you know I can't have this over my head to do what I'm called to do, and I'm doing what you told me to do. Take care of this for me. So he told me who to call, when to call, and how to do it, and it was canceled. They paid for it, and the company that thought we owed them, they owe us. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the steps of a good man are not suggested by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord. And you have to know God's voice just as much as you know your name. And more you're closely defined by his words and knowing his voice, the more successful you are in life. Because you can't tell me you're in the presence of God and you're seeking God and you don't come out with godly results. That's how simple it is. And we've made it so complicated that people can't really get to God because they don't see the proof. That's when you start talking, when you have proof. You don't say nothing when you don't have no proof yet. You just wait a while. Just wait till you get some proof. But see, it's nothing like, just like I never forget, it was, use my former pastor as an example. A lot of churches in Maryland, had big churches. But there was one church that was in particular the largest church in the state of Maryland. And her church, and I'm just using her as an example. You get what I'm saying? Now, everybody else's church was suggested that they all paid for. But you know, anybody that owned the parking lot around the Redskins Stadium owned the land. Something going on. Anybody that can leave their church for a year, deal with a sickness and die, and the church don't worry about the church being paid for, something going on. Proof is in the pudding. Wealth is not in new money, it's in old money. That's the greatest deception. You see what I'm saying? And you can tell by the things that remain. You ain't see nothing on the news when she died, the church going to go in foreclosure. They don't have no money because you know if they were broke, it was going to be right on the news. They passed it. What the church going to do? Do you see what I'm saying? They're looking for an opportunity to say, your God don't work. Look at one mistake with Eddie. People coming out the yin-yang. Oh, this man did this, and yes, he did this. And back in the day, we interviewed his ex-wife, and he was abusive there. Boom, 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 boom. Why? Because it was working against no proof.
And people coming up and saying this,
they did this. Your life demands results. And even in your success at work, we used to sing this song, it's so stupid. I mean, it's a beautiful song, but it's stupid. We'll say, ordinary people, God uses. No, he don't. He ain't never used no ordinary people. Never. Ain't nobody you know that's making it and can prove it living an ordinary life. And God came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but we call that ordinary. Ain't no way. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So, and this is what Jesus is saying. Look, you don't want, do you really want this honor? See, if you did want this honor, of course he says you don't seek the honor that cometh from God. Again, he's telling you that this honor comes from a sought-after event. Those that seek them, they find them. So my question is, are you really seeking God? You see what I'm saying? And predestination sets that path up. Amen? So let's read this final thing. Jesus answered them. Now, Jesus said this. I didn't say this. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto ye, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto what? Everlasting life. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God the Father sealed. Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Because, of course, you know, ultimately when someone goes after understanding why they're here and what they're supposed to do, that's that question of predestination. So they're going to come to this thing, and he tells you what to do. The work of God is this. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So that lets us know that our life as a believer is more important than we make it out to be.
Amen.
We got to value our belief system. Amen? Three things about predestination, and I'm done. And we'll get more into this in next week when we talk about justification and purification and restoration. We'll get all through. I told you we're going through all the Asians. We're going to get through this. We've got two more lessons, and then we'll go into another subject. And then I will be done. But number one, predestination begins to unfold what God has foreordained, which means, look, if the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, before he does anything, he sets up that order. That's one of the things military knows. The Bible says in Hebrews that a military person would not entangle themselves with civilian affairs because they know that the life of the military is totally different from the life of a civilian, because civilians are not based on orders, based on democracy. Military establishes all of its premises on order. So before they do anything, they're going to set up an order first. And God says, look, I don't do anything that I don't foreordain. I don't do anything that I don't place in order first. So he gives you path, and then he gives you light for your path. He's going to give you the path first before he goes out and tell you get on the path. He don't ever say, okay, try to, you know, hit and miss. That ain't God. Because the steps of a good man are what? Ordered. So predestination begins to unfold what God has foreordained through divine paths that was charted prior to all of humanity's existence. Because he purposed, the scripture says that he purposed the world into himself. So on earth, for our faith helps us translate the assurance to trust God with our lives because of this reality. Have you ever noticed when someone initially accepts Jesus as Lord, there's just a sense of trust with everything? It's not necessarily that they know, but they know that once they receive Jesus, they have this assurance. That's why the old saints used to say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to find. They couldn't define it, but they knew that trust was in place, that, look, God, you got my life. Now, they didn't know what that meant, you know. But they knew enough to say, look, my faith can rest in this. And that's what happens. But unfortunately, people try to exist in that realm all their life. Lord Jesus. I'm looking at my time. They try to exist into that all of their life. And you need more than that, because we are grown in the knowledge of God, which I'm going to prove next week. Amen? Let's keep reading. Predestination is not karma. It is not fixed to events. It is God's insurance package given for every believer that sets their heart to being called according to his purpose, a disciple of Christ, and identified with the Lord Jesus. Because I want you to understand, some people think that because things happen in their life, it's God's will. No, it's not. Because God don't, when he sets up a path, his path already has an end, and he knows how you're supposed to end. But if you choose to go a different way, he can make a way of escape for you, but that might not have been his original intention or his original path. So it's not karma. And so predestination doesn't mean that you're going to have fixed events. Because God wouldn't have given you a free will if predestination means that you just have fixed events and whatever happens, happens. So it's bigger than that. You get what I'm saying? And if you don't get beyond that, You'll confine predestination to it is what it is. And so when things happen, you'll say, that's God. No, God didn't have nothing to do with that.
Right.
Amen. All right. Amen. And then finally, predestination is a part of the route to victory that is intended to come out of life. So, of course, you know, 1 John 5:4, y'all can write that down for that. Our authority is realized when this one major question is effectuated. Why am I here? And that revelation of predestination answers this question to the believer instinctively. In other words, when a person really goes after God and knows why they knows that, actually when they go to God and they seek God, they find God. So that question is already answered. And that's why, you know, those whom he did predestinate, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of his son. And then the scripture says to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we went to the first scriptures and said, and he said unto them, if any man will come up after me, let him deny what? Himself. and take up his own cross, which means, come on, take on that revelation of what he did on the cross. And follow me, for whosoever will save his own life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life, for whose sake? For the Lord Jesus' sake, the same shall save him. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Or be cast away? God doesn't want us to live any old kind of way. He wants us to have in-depth insights on this life. And he wants us to know why we believe. I'm going to give you more next time because I went way over my time. 2 minutes over.